be seated. Grandparents can be a tremendous blessing. For some, it is a great positive. For others, the sad thing is it wasn't quite what it could have been or was for others. But essentially, I think grandparents can be a great blessing. There's the old joke is that why do grandparents and grandchildren get along so well? They have a common enemy. Think about that. Anyway, it is amazing to see those relationships. I remember in a book, and the woman is writing the book, and it's a lot about this mother-daughter relationship. And we as the readers are aware of a larger story than the characters in the book. You may have read books like that. The storyteller is the one who knows all, and we are in on that. And at one point, it shifts to the daughter and reflecting on her grandmother. And, gosh, my mother and my grandmother, they always kind of looked at each other. But, her relationship with the grandmother was great. Now, we're reading the book. We see there was a mother-daughter dynamic between that grandmother and the mother. The granddaughter is not aware of it. But, again, what struck out to me was even though there were challenges between this woman and her daughter, it did not impact the granddaughter. And the mother, the one in the middle, you get along with my granddaughter? Great. Despite our stuff, I'm all for it. That was a good thing. It's amazing about the power of grandparents. And some have the grandparents or someone has been like a grandparent to them. Never underestimate that role. This Sunday, I want to talk about our friend Tom from Doe Run. He actually has a good relationship with his children and a really good one with his grandkids. He is their ace in the hole, though they do not know it yet. Spending time with them and can draw a life lesson from any kind of circumstance, like he did with his children. See, one day he was taking them out to a family farm. Now, Tom grew up in the town. His father owned then Tom later expanded it to be also the body shop. But his father had come from a farm background and had got interested by working on the tractors. That's how he kind of got interested in auto repair, in an odd sort of way. And there's a cousin that now maintains the family farm. It's one of those family farms that several descendants have a share of it. And you've got some that run it and work it, and some are shareholders, and everybody is welcome. And it's always a great place. Give his adult children some time off. He takes the grandchildren on a trip there to the farm and is walking the land, checking it out. And he comes to a fence line, and there are two trees on either side. One is flourishing. It always looks good. Deep green in the leaves, and the birds like to nest in it. And on the other side of the fence, a short distance away, is one that is growing, but it's lean, it's brittle. It looks like it's still growing, but there's some dead limbs, seems like on a frequent basis, and having to get those taken off. And it's like it is fighting to survive. And Tom points out to the kids, one of those trees found the roots found the old creek bed, and the other reaches into clay. Roots matter. And that's something that comes to his mind when he heard the sermon series, first on the Psalms and then the parables, about the two at which we're looking today. Dr. Carroll read a smaller section of both. I made it easy on you. I didn't have you read all of it. But Psalm 1 is essentially talking about, and that sets the stage for the entire book of the Psalms, that blessed is the one who's dwelling in the word of the Lord. And then a very popular parable from Matthew, where the farmer goes out and scatters the seed, and some falls on hard ground and thorny ground and shallow. Anyway, different kinds of soils, and only one leads to something that produces. From this, several points can be drawn, and Tom thinks of those. There's the condition versus the condition of the heart matters. In the psalm, we are told, blessed is the one who delights in God's word. The heart is oriented towards the truth. We have that contrast to Matthew 13 about that some hearts are hard, they're shallow, they are distracted. Tom understands this very well. He said there was a fellow named Daryl. Was rough, easily distracted, prone to anger. He had a hard backstory, but he had a good uncle. And the uncle sent him to Tom to work one summer. It was a summer job. Basically, the kid needs to earn some money. And, hey, Tom, if you can get that kid's head straightened out, that'd be great. We'd be very appreciative. And one day, Tom pulled Daryl aside and said, look, I've seen engines seize because someone never checked the oil. That's your heart. You are running fast, but you do not check the inside. Tell you what, here's a little Bible. I want you to read Psalm 1 every day this week. You can do it on company time. You should clock in. That you clock in. First thing you do, you go read that. And then you'll be on with the work of the day. And then I want you to figure out, what kind of tree are you going to be? I want you to pray about that. And Daryl took him to heart. And now Daryl is part of the leadership at that body shop and repair shop. Also, he works with the youth at his church. And guess what? All the rowdy boys get sent to him for straightening out. Some soils and some hearts are hard and shallow and distracted. Fruitfulness starts when your heart softens and your roots grow deep. Reminder for us to pray, Lord, deepen our roots. Make us good soil. Roots make the difference. A tree thrives when planted by streams of water. Shallow soil means no roots, so the plant dies in the heat. Soon, Texas high school football teams will begin their practices. I'm not sure if there's an official start date. And maybe some folks are doing stuff in June. I don't know, but it's different in Texas. And I don't know all the ins and outs. But think about the practices that will be starting. The story comes from a few years ago of a fella named Logan. He had raw talent. Just to see him display that talent made coaches water, their mouths water. And so he was highly recruited. But then they went to the two-a-day practices, and the heat was strong. And Logan was tempted to bellyache. He was tempted and he did bellyache. I'm just not made out for this. This heat, and the coach pulled him aside and said, look, the heat does not create weakness. It reveals your depth. You've got shallow roots. Logan got the message. And he realized that a shallow root syndrome was not just on the ball field. It was in some areas of life. It led to a change of heart, a spirit-filled change of heart. He began to listen more and to follow discipline. It flowed into his life. And in mid-season in particular, those that knew him noticed a change had begun. It was not just by getting a by. And it was one of those talents that they can just get by and they're doing good versus great. He was coming early and staying late and gutting it out. And in the playoffs, he made the game-saving tackle. And the coach said, now that is a deep-rooted man. And his family noticed those deep roots were not just on the playing field. They are at home as well. The Spirit had gotten a hold of his life, and the roots were running deep. Without those roots, trials burn you out, and with roots, they make you strong. But also from these passages, Tom's reminded that you know about the company that you keep. Psalm 1 cautions, don't walk with the wicked. Matthew 13, the parable refers to the thorns. There makes reference to the cares of the world, but it can be just kind of who's around you as well. There's a classic saying attributed to Lord Chesterfield, though it's in many other sources as well. It's in Scripture too. But it goes, tell me with whom you associate, and I will tell you who you are. And you may have heard that contemporary wisdom that you are the summary of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Either you become one of them or you leave. And if you're with them and they're better, you become better. Again, I think of a story shared of a group of four women, that had basically done life together. And there's references to it back and forth, and the book is set there in their 70s. And it's not faith-based, but it was an interesting story of how they had been through each other, their highs and their lows and their challenges. At seminary, back in the early 90s, one of my classmates was at his home church, was known as the man who broke a glass ceiling. He was the first man to teach what was then known as the old ladies Sunday school class. But he said actually it began in the 1920s as the young women's class, because it used to be adult Sunday school, the boys and the girls were still separate. And a group of, there were five probably young brides, recent college graduates, and the pastor's wife at the time thought they need some guidance. And so she started the Sunday school class, and that became the tradition that women would teach that class. And he said there are five women in that class who were there at the beginning, just launching in life in their 20s. And over the years, through all that had followed, they had been together. That had been that common thread. In Tom's community, there's a group of five men who get together, each with his own backstory. One's a carpenter, one's a banker, one's a teacher, one's a farmer. One is a local trucker, covers Doe Run in about three towns. And they have gone through life together. Tom actually got them together. That's a whole other story, another sermon of how he got them together. But meet once a week early for breakfast. They've been through the highs and they've been through the lows. Each one will say, it's Jesus and these guys that got me through it. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, the psalmist tells us. You grow best when you're planted with the right people. We're reminded that time reveals the truth. Psalm 1 speaks of life, of how it being firm and not being blown away by the wind. With the seeds, you've got the birds that pick it up and take it away. Fruit always shows in time. A man who was known as a seaman, because that had been his bit. He had basically been worked on a boat for years and retired. And after all those years on the sea, he wanted time on the land. To really be invested in the land. Had a nice house. He and his wife had got a nice house. Did some raised gardens. Focused on that. And every day, they're at work. And his sea friends, who come in and out from the port, kind of laughed watching, my gosh, here's Mr. Seaman, Mr. Boatman, just working away, playing with that dirt. But came the fall, they saw the product of his hard work. Fruit always shows over time. And the goal in all of this is fruitfulness, just not growth for growth's sake. As I said, Tom and his wife, they're blessed. They've got good relationships with their children. He reflects on his son, who is the father of this particular group of grandkids that are out today, who after growing up in the community went after the big lights and the bright lights of other cities. And for several years worked here and there. Basically spent his 20s, not wasted, but elsewhere in pursuing other things. After working so hard, he became very burned out and empty. Officially, he had earned a long vacation and had come back to the town with the idea that he would go back. It's not one of those vacations where really you're laid off. It's one of those, no, it really is a vacation, a long one, extra time off. And had decided to spend it versus going to some big ski resort or going to some lovely beach. Had come back to Doron. It didn't take long, he realized that he was on the verge of a collapse, if not those early stages. He had only been home a couple of days, and he went back to that family farm, walked the land that his father had walked with him, and he saw an old oak tree where he had seen his father read. He sat there and returned to Psalm 1. And Tom's son realized that he had been living among thorns and what he had been pursuing. So in due course, he closed the loop with his work elsewhere and came back, using his business skills on the business end of the body shop, and also working with a cousin on the business end of the farm. So he and Daryl, kind of next to Tom, he and Daryl are the ones that run the body shop in auto repair. And when he's not working with his own kids, he's mentoring some kids in 4-H. He understood the goal. It's not just growth, bigger, 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 but fruitfulness. And so here we are back, walking the land with Tom and grandsons and granddaughters. There are four that go with that son. And they're actually now looking, and it's been there, and now they're back. There's a big project coming up, and there's some lumber that's been made available. They want to pick a good one. And so Tom taps the wood. The kids think it's great. Oh, yeah, let's tap it and let's get going on this project. And he says, no, it's still too green. It won't hold the nail just right. And then he picks out another piece of lumber. It's aged oak, hard and ready. And he said, this one is ready for something. It's strong. It's had time and it had roots. And that makes it strong. We have the wisdom of the psalm and the wisdom that Jesus gives in this parable. Don't just hear the word. Let it take root. Just don't just grow, but bear fruit. Take the time to dwell on our Lord and his grace for you. Amen.